Okay, this week in the Senate, we actually got along pretty good. The Appropriations Committee had sent 13 bills to the floor. The budget for this year is going to be about $21 billion. So most of next week, starting Tuesday, we will be off Monday because of Easter break, but starting Tuesday, we will start debating on the Senate floor all of the budget bills. There's probably going to be some differences, well, there always is, between the Senate and the House. So after we get through with the budget on the Senate floor next week, then we'll probably send the bills into conference, and that's where the conference negotiators between the House and the Senate will kind of hash out the differences. I don't expect to see a lot of differences in the two bills. One of the areas that is somewhat different that's going to be interesting to see how it comes out. The governor had recommended earlier in the year a 4% across-the-board pay raise for all state employees. Now, that's still in, and both bodies have said that they want to have the 4% for the state employees. Well, early on, the governor said all state employees except for judges and legislators and statewide office holders. Well, the legislators and statewide office holders are still out of the bill. You know, both bodies have said we're not going to do that. But the House put in a 4% pay raise for the judges. The Senate Appropriations Committee took that back out. So we have some differences there. So it's going to be interesting in conference committee to see how that works. You know, some think that the judges make a good enough salary the way it is. Others think that to be able to make sure that we have very good judges, you want to be able to pay them well enough because, you know, if you're an attorney, obviously you have the capability of making a lot of money. So it's going to be interesting to see how that issue actually shakes out. Some of the bills that we third read and finally passed this year or this week, one of them was Senate Bill 895. That bill prohibits insurance companies from raising rates or canceling people because of severe weather. I used to serve on the insurance committee. I don't presently, but I remember when I was on the insurance committee that every year we would have people come in and say that because they had a small claim, that some insurance companies just canceled them or they wanted to raise their rates and they were getting very frustrated. Well, because of all the storms that we've had last year and this year, now we're getting some people that are saying that they are getting their rates raised because of the severe weather or tornadoes or hail or something of this nature. Well, that isn't right, and that's what Senate Bill 895 does. It just makes sure that the insurance companies can't raise the rates or cancel people because of severe weather. That's something that people can't control. So I think this is it's a very good consumer bill. But some pretty lengthy discussions this week also on Senate Bill 832. We finally ended up passing the bill. It's on its way to the House, and it's dealing with TIF reform. TIF is tax increment financing, and that allows a developments to be created in certain areas and use some of the money that would have been tax money to help finance the starting of that. Well, the big contention was that in the St. Louis area, that program has been, in a lot of people's opinion, even including a lot of the legislators in the St. Louis area, it's been abused terribly. Instead of using the TIF program to create something new, they were actually using the TIF program to create, as an example, another shopping center when they were taking away business from another shopping center 5 or 6 miles down the road. It wasn't designed for that. It was designed to create new jobs and eventually new tax revenue. Well, because of the problems that they were having over there, they were wanting to drastically change some of the TIF regulations. Well, in doing that, it would have really have harmed a lot of our rural areas. A lot of our towns in our communities use TIF for different projects. As an example, if you wanted to bring a Target store in, you would want to be able to use TIF to be able to help entice them to come in. Well, by doing that, you are going to be creating new tax revenue, new real estate tax revenue, as well as jobs. So by using some of that tax money to help finance it, everyone wins, because if the community wasn't getting any tax money, it's always better to get just a little bit of that tax money. And they were wanting to say that we couldn't do it in greenfield areas. Well, greenfields is generally an area where there isn't any type of development. For most of us, that's on the edge of town. Well, there's not many towns in the 12th Senatorial District that is large enough that you could put a Target store with a large shopping center in the middle of a blighted area. That's just not possible. So where we have to do it is on the edge of town, and they were trying to prohibit that. Senator Shields and I had worked on this, and actually we got that stopped so we can still go ahead and use it. So I think we got a reasonable TIF bill. There wasn't any drastic changes in it, but at least we protected the use of TIF in some of our local communities. Another bill that was pretty important was Senate Bill 1210. We're actually really cracking down now on Medicaid fraud. Really enhancing the penalties for that. We're actually saying that anyone that is convicted of Medicaid fraud would have to serve at least 85% of that prison time before they could become eligible for parole. It's also got in it it's a kind of a so-called death penalty. It's really not a death penalty. But it actually means that if you are a health care provider and you are found guilty of Medicaid fraud, you are forever banned from ever participating in the program. So if you've ever defrauded the government, you're out of business. You can never get back in to that type of business. Last year, we really cracked down on some of the individuals that were defrauding Medicaid. Examples were some of the people coming over from Arkansas, getting a P.O. box, signing up for Medicaid, getting the Medicaid and driving over once a month to get their check. We cracked down on that, stopped a lot of that. Now we're cracking down on the providers that is actually defrauding the government. So this is just kind of step two in actually reforming Medicaid. We're actually going to end up making this a lot better program than we've ever had in the past and make it a lot more efficient. Another very interesting bill, Senate Bill 912. This was a bill that we had third read and passed, so it's on its way to the House also. It's a bill that uses technology to create a virtual school. It requires the state school board to set up this so-called virtual school by July 1 of 07. This is mostly aimed at temporary homebound students. I think we all know of students in the past that, whether it's because of health reasons or a serious injury or something, that they've had to stay home for a long period of time and miss quite a little bit of school. This would allow you to be able to take internet classes that are state accredited. Your local school district would still get some of the money, so it's not like that they're going to lose out totally in this. But it also would allow, and especially useful in a lot of our rural areas, would allow some of our students in the smaller areas that don't have a very good selection of advanced classes. So if we can put together a lot of advanced classes, that's going to prepare a lot of our students for some of the college courses that they will be taking. This is very good. These are going to be fully accredited courses. And they can take a lot of those very advanced courses that they wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity to take unless they were in a large high school. So this is an interesting bill. I like it. I think it's something that over the next few years I hope really evolves into something that's going to be very important and very useful. Another bill was Senate Bill 951. This was a bill that was sponsored by Senator John Cawthorn of Mexico. And we're just kind of wrapping the knuckles of some of these towns that set up speed traps. Back in 1995, there was a pretty well-known town called Max Creek, kind of in south central Missouri, which had a very notorious speed trap. You know, everyone knew about it all over the Midwest. People vacationing in Missouri was just getting stopped there all the time. So the person that was the legislature at that time actually passed a bill that said that no city could get more than 45% of its annual budget from speeding tickets. Well, that was pretty hard on that town because I think about 3/4 of their budget was coming from all the speeding tickets. Well, there's been a few more crop up over the state of this so-called speed traps. So we're changing that, and we're going to lower the 45% down to 35%, meaning that no city can put in their budget or be able to use over 35% of the revenue from speeding tickets for their budget. Anything that they collect over that, they have to send into the state. That should probably slow them down a little bit. You know, police officers are supposed to protect us from the bad guys, not turn themselves into ATMs for City Hall. So this is a bill I think is good, and we're just going to crack down on some of those towns that's trying to set up their speed traps.